In church, it's good to be with y'all this morning, and we'd like to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I can't help but to, Lord, give me the scripture for it. As I think about mothers and Mother's Day, I'm sorry I don't have a Mother's Day message. The Lord's not ever give me one of those to preach on Mother's Day. I don't know why, but His will be done. And I wouldn't want to come in here with something on my heart and preach about Mother's Day when the Lord didn't will it, because it'd be a mess. It really would. But I do think about Mother's Day, and I think about this passage of Scripture real quick, and then we'll get on with the message today. Paul's writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first," it was the teaching that helped Timothy get to where he was. He says that unfeigned faith in God, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I persuaded that in ye also. And it just, that scripture just stands out to me about how important the teachings that a mother would give and a grandmother to their child, as we see here going from generation to generation, how important teaching at home is from parents to children. And I mean, that's what helped Timothy get to where he was, to be the preacher that he was, to be the eventually the pastor that he was, and the co-preacher there with Brother Paul. And I'm thankful for our mothers. I'm thankful for good, godly teachers in our homes, both men and women. But happy Mother's Day to all those out there. Welcome on Facebook to all those that are joining us out there today. Y'all pray for me in this scripture that we're going to be in today. We're going to be in the book of James this morning, and we're going to be James chapter 1, and it's going to be verses 21 through 25. James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, and I'm going to read the scripture, and then we're going to pray. And like I said, I desire you pray for me. And with that, we just ask that you would just get a blessing out of this morning. Verse number 21, Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The scripture that we're looking at today comes from these next verses. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into that perfect law of liberty, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity once again, Lord, to be in the pulpit. Lord, just thank you for getting us to church this morning, making it able for us to get here this morning. And Father, I pray as the word is read, Lord, I pray, Father, that you just get my flesh out of the way, that you would just feed me with your thoughts through the Holy Spirit. Guide my tongue this morning. Lord, I pray that I not say anything that shouldn't be said, but Lord, that everything that's said be guided by you. And Father, I pray for liberty this morning. Father, I pray that you give me the things that you did in study. And Father, we thank you for all these that have come out this morning. Father, thank you for our mothers as we celebrate that day today. And Father, we just thank you for all your blessings. I pray that, Lord, you help us today from your word. Feed us, guide us, direct us, teach us as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm thankful this morning, church. I can move, and this is a blessing for me. But I just thank God for that. We're looking at this scripture today, and I was praying and going through my Bible, and I kid you not, I stopped in the middle of this because I thought for the longest time that beholding his natural face in a glass, for many, many years, I thought this was a drinking glass. And I never thought about a looking glass, a mirror, what it's talking about. But the Lord stopped me here, and I got to studying, and the Lord kept feeding, and gave the message for today. Now, I like when we teach in the schools, we've got one of our lessons that's called half-truths. And what it ends up being is one of our young characters in the lesson that we're teaching that day, Daddy warns him about something. He says, don't be hanging around this young boy. But he gives him a warning. This young man, his friends start warning him about this person that he's hanging out with. But he disregards all their warnings, all their instruction. Don't do this. Don't hang out with this person. And it's not about the person, but it's about the instruction of the father to the son. And this young man went against all the instruction, all the warning that he had, and disobeyed his father. His father told him, don't do this. But he did it anyhow. Comes to find out, the young man ends up getting in trouble. Not bad trouble, but bad enough trouble if you're a youngin'. Was with somebody that broke a window out of a house that got bad because he was disobedient to his father. And his father told him, he said, you'd have never been in this position if you'd have just obeyed. But because of your disobedience, there's going to be a price to pay for this, and he had to pay for part of the window that got broken, even though he didn't do anything. He disobeyed his father. And that came back to my mind as I was studying for this, about how there's always some type of penalty to pay for disobedience. Whenever I was going through the scripture today, I was saying, Lord, if I had a name for it, what would it be? Some do, and some don't, and just walk away for today. Some do, some don't, and just walk away for today's message. Paul starts out with some personal instruction about obedience. Verse number 22, he just starts out and he says, be ye doers of the word. He just gives them an instruction. He gives them direction. Be ye doers of the word. Interesting, I just looked it up and I said, I wonder how many times do and go is mentioned in the Bible. Go, it's 1,352 times. Just go, go. I was blown away. I expected a couple hundred, but not 1,352. The word do is mentioned 1,261 times. Now, that word doer is just a performer, somebody who performs something. Now, you think about, you know, people being on stage as a performer, but this is just somebody that does something as to perform an act. I like doers. I like to get things done. But I like to watch people that are doers. I don't necessarily, not so fond of the ones that just sit. But I'm fond of the ones that just do. You probably heard many people many times say, I need to do this, or I need to do that. It's probably going to happen to me today. I need to do this. I'll hear it somewhere. I need to do that. It's not a doer. A doer is somebody that gets something done. Doesn't sit around. I love the people that, you've always heard that saying, don't be part of the problem, be part of the solution. or it's better to be part of the solution than to be part of the problem. I love doers because they're part of the solution. Instead of just talking about it or thinking about it, the doer just gets it done. But I also like doers, and think about this, parents, you like doers because a husband would ask a wife to do something. Oh, sure, honey. She's a doer, okay? Wife, when asked a husband to do something, I think about myself when Miss Sharon asked me to do something, and she'd love for me to say, yes, honey, not a problem at all, which a lot of times I do. But there's sometimes I say, when do you need that? I'm one of those people that's not doing. But then I realize, okay, I just need to do this and get it done to be a doer for her. But parents, you, as the young people in your family, the children, you love them to be doers. When you ask them to do something, you would love for them to be obedient and to do that thing that you ask them to do. But I love doers. I mean, they're action people. They get stuff done. Usually they're the ones that are the thinkers, okay? And I love thinkers, too, people that work their way through things. But I love doers. I just love to see people that work, that get things done, that don't just talk about it, but they do. James' personal instruction for obedience is to be a doer of the word. And we'll get to his blessing here in just a few moments as we're looking at this. But James also says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Whenever we look at that word hearers, it means to give audience to. It means to, I think of it like people in a movie theater as the audience. Just people looking and watching, and to give audience to, that word hearers, it's not a doer. It's just somebody that is hearing, but not doing anything with that. To give audience to, an assembly of hearers. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Persuading ourselves into a good opinion of the state of how we are. I'm going somewhere with this. Be patient with me. Merely because of being hearers of the word and thinking that mere hearing is all that's needed. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Whenever I think about the hearer, I think about, I mean, it comes down to what James is teaching about today in his word, that a lot of times we just read the Bible and don't really look to get much out of it. We look into the word and we don't pray before we go into God's word. We just kind of read it to say, well, there's my devotion for the day. We're done with that. There's a lot of people that don't look for God's blessings and his instruction in his word. But there's a lot of times whenever we're in church, when we're reading God's word, and the church is the same way, to give audience to, be not hearers only, for many to come to church and just do it to make an appearance. Make it to come and listen to God's word and enjoy it, enjoy the fellowship of others, but don't take anything home out of it. It's just left there almost as an audience would to a TV show or a movie or even an audience at a sporting event. Just watch, but don't take a whole lot away from it. Paul says, don't be hearers only. Be doers. Because if you just hear only, you're deceiving yourself. Lord, straighten this out in Jesus' name. For if ye be a hearer of the word, and he goes on down and says, and not a doer, this is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Like I said before, many, many years, well, up until 2 days ago, I was under the impression that this glass was just a drinking glass. It's no wonder this verse never made any sense to me. But when I prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, what for today? He just showed me that right off the bat, and I'm like, oh, this is getting interesting. It's like, Lord, is this where you want me? But looking into a picture glass, a mirror, it makes a lot more sense now whenever, you know, God gives you one of those smacks upside the head, and you're like, oh, now I get it. God's word's a living word. Feeds you every day. For I don't know how many years, I didn't read that verse right until God showed it to me. For any of be a hearer and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. That beholding, just, it's to consider attentively, to look upon and focus your attention on it, and only that, to fix your eyes or your mind upon something. So we've got a person here who is a hearer of the word and not a doer. I always have to go back to our young people, because you know that we're missionaries to the youth. But I always ask them about this obedience thing, and I say, what does it mean to obey? And they tell me, well, it's you hear it and you do it. And I'm like, you nailed it. That's exactly it, to be obedient. You hear something, and then you do it. When you're asked by your husband or your wife to do them a favor, you hear it, and then you say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, yes, honey, and you go do it. That's being obedient. For you young people, it's like, honey, can you go straighten up your room a little bit? And you're like, yes, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, I can go do that. That's being obedient. And then I ask them what disobedience means, and they're not quite up on that word. But when I ask them, they pretty much just say, to hear or to not do what you're told to do, to hear it, being disobedient, what I get out of them is they hear it, but they don't do it. You've heard what to do, but you say, nah. And they say, yeah, that's disobedience. That's what it is. And I was like, that's what disobedience is. I said, we get blessed for obeying wherever it might be, in the workforce, at home, with a teacher, from the Bible. We get a blessing if we obey. But if we disobey, usually there's some penalty that comes with that. And I'm not talking about being stricken down, but it doesn't go as good as if we obey and if we're obedient. But to behold something means to consider attentively, fix one's eyes or mind upon something. And it goes on and it says, beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. As we look at this scripture, it paints a vivid picture of, we can recall it back to communion, self-examination. I just like to think of it as looking in the mirror, because mirrors will tell you a lot. Mirrors helped me one day to get saved. But with that, and I think along with the mirrors, that it's something that you look into attentively, as the scripture tells us today. If you be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. We take and we look in the mirror. And I'll tell you, pictures, well, I'm just talking about physical stuff, but pictures don't hide stuff. And I've looked at some pictures of myself and said, okay, that needs to change, and We need to work on this, not just physical appearance, but I mean, well, it is, but I mean, the way certain things affect you, stress and things that we put in our bodies that aren't supposed to be there, that are toxic to us. But this is a picture of a person who looks in the mirror and sees something that they don't like. You see something that you want to get rid of that needs some changing. Make better choices, maybe, to be what God would have you to be. But the one that walks, go with his way, and straightway forgetteth, they forgot about what they just saw in the mirror. For many churchgoers, this hits kind of the same. We read the message in God's Word as we're doing our devotional reading, or just pick up the Bible just to get some feeding from God. We read His Word, and God convicts us. We hear the message preached, and God convicts us over something that's preached. God wants to show us something that needs to be changed, something that He'd like for us to do, or just a certain way to live to honor and glorify Him. But the man that walks away, closes his Bible, leaves the church service, dismisses the leading of the Holy Ghost, and gets back into the world, into ourselves, and forget about what God desires from us. As Christians, there's always room for growth. I always say that it's just in general, I count it a good day if I learn something new. I'm one of these people, I love to learn just about stuff. You've heard me tell you before, I used to take all kinds of stuff apart when I was little just to see how it worked so I could learn something from it. But as Christians, we're supposed to be growing. We're supposed to be learning. When we open God's Word and it shows us something or convicts us of something, we're supposed to take heed to that. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. Because some do and some don't and just walk away. When we hear the preaching of God's Word, when we're in our Sunday school classes and our teachers that have poured their hearts into studying for their lesson that week, share what God's given them, or are we just an audience? Or are we a doer that looks to get fed from that service that day? When Ms. Sharon and I pray on Sunday mornings, one of the parts of our prayer is just that God have everybody come to your house this morning. First, burden all to get to your house, but then the ones that are already planning on being at your house, have them come with the right attitude. Have them come hungry. Not just to be there as an audience, but just to be there and wanting to be fed from the Word so that they can grow as a Christian. Now, you've heard me say it many times that I've been to Sunday schools that there's not many people there, and then everybody shows up for worship service, and I'm like, you're a hearer and not a doer. Because you're just showing up to be seen. If you're really wanting to grow from God's Word, you come to Sunday school. And then you get two parts with the Sunday school teacher, what God's put on his heart and what he's poured his heart into study that week or her. And also you get the preaching where he's been praying and God's been feeding him with a message. It's good to be a doer and not just a hearer. But we're a hearer only if we look at God's Word, read it, and He shows us something, and we're just like, well, that was neat. Oh, I know who needs that. It's easy for us to dismiss God's teaching. But I challenge you to pray in the mornings and have God show you, or evenings whenever you read your Bible, that God show you what he wants you to have for that day. So I don't, and I'm not puffing myself up, but I don't miss my Bible reading in the morning because I want to know what God's got for me that day. I want to know what God's going to show me that day, how he's going to grow me that day, the little nugget he's going to give me. Lord, if you see some, when I looked in that mirror this morning, if you saw something, let me see it, that I can make that change to be a better Christian. A person that comes to church and just comes to be an audience and not getting fed from the Word of God, I believe they're missing it. Really are. Because believe me, I know these Sunday school teachers and I know these preachers out here have prayed and spent time in meditation in God's Word. Lord, what would you have me bring? Lord, what would you have me preach? What would you have me teach? Feed me that I can share it with others. They've prayed about it and got the Holy Ghost on, well, welled up. They've already got it in them if they're saved, but welled up within them to preach and teach and give what God's put on their heart. But if you're just a hearer, you come in and you just make an appearance. Have it look good. Don't take anything away out of it. Well, that was a good service this morning. That was a good preaching this morning. But that was for so-and-so when God convicted your heart over it. That's just being a hearer and not a doer. Persuading yourself into a good opinion of your state. Just being a hearer. Thinking that mere hearing is all that's needed. But church, there's personal growth that needs to be in there. Each and every day, to have us be a better witness. Well, I pray, Lord, give me back the scripture. Let me bring to remembrance the scripture whenever I'm witnessing to somebody, wherever I'm talking to somebody, just to get that out there. That we can be that witness that we need to be. But it doesn't come without study. It doesn't come without asking God for it. It doesn't come without coming hungry to God's house, willing to be fed. For any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and beholding himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, God's got a plan for each and every one of us. What he wants us to do, where he wants us to go, what job he wants us in, what school he wants us in, who he wants us to marry, what house he wants us to have, what car he'd like for us to be in. I pray about all these things. God will guide and direct you. We got the Holy Spirit inside of us. But God has a plan for each and every one of us. Number one is salvation. When we pick up his word and when we come to Sunday school and when we come to church services, he wants us to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. When that gospel message is presented, that we submit to that drawing of the Holy Spirit for those that are lost. Because I know with me it was something that went on for quite a while. He was dealing with my heart about being saved. But with this, his number one plan for you is to be saved. He wants you to get that out of his word. He wants you to get that out of Sunday school. He wants you to get that out of the church service, the preaching. Number one is he gave his only begotten son that we might be saved. That believing on him, we would be saved. But with this, he's also got that plan for our lives. And we're so close to being there. But we got this one little thing that needs to be taken care of in our lives. And we've said, well, that was a good message, but yeah, that really doesn't apply to me. Well, that was good what I read in his word today, but that really didn't apply to me. But it's that one thing that might be holding you back from God saying, all right, we're going down that path that I planned for you. There's so much in his word that we can learn from, glean from the preaching, from the Sunday school lessons that could prick our hearts in that one area that we're having an issue with, or maybe we didn't know we had an issue with it until the Holy Ghost convicted us over it through that preaching or teaching. The doer's the one that just says, Lord, you know, I need to work on that. Thank you, Lord, for showing that to me. And trying to get closer to God through being obedient to his word, not only read, but also the preaching that we hear. But he has a plan for each and every one of us. And my prayer is that God's plan for God's will be done in your life. That he have you exactly where he wants you and gives you the vehicle that you needed at the perfect price. I pray that he give you the house that you need for the perfect price, and husband and wife and you young people, the school that you're praying over, and future husbands and wives for y'all. I pray that God's perfect will be done in your lives. But each and every day, God's put his word within our reach that we could glean off of it, that we could read it, and if there's something in our lives that needs to be changed, that we do it. I'm thankful for our preachers and for our Sunday school teachers and others in the church that pray. I pray just for the people behind the scenes that we never see actually. Well, they do actual physical stuff on the grounds, but I mean that you don't see, they're not a preacher or a Sunday school teacher. The behind the scenes people. I pray for them too, because I pray for them to have a joyful attitude that day and to come in with a smile on their face, and whatever they need to do, if they need to work out in the parking lot, if they need to go out before the church service to pick up trash, you know that they do it with a joyful heart so that people could see them and see the true light of Christ in their lives. The blessedness of obedience and the blessedness of the doers, as we look at this last section here today. Be a doer, not just a hearer. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now, I stopped at this look into, and it just meant stop at a thing in order to look at it with the head bowed forward, to look into with the body bent, to stoop and look into. That I looked at that and I thought that puts some importance on what's getting ready to happen. But whoso looketh into means to stand there and bow your head and look into. When we look at something that's important, you know, we stoop down and we look into it. You're wanting to read what the ingredients are on something that you're getting ready to buy in the store. But what we usually do is we usually stoop down and we usually look at it like this intently, as to get something out of it, as to learn something from it. Now, James says here, whoso looketh into this perfect law of liberty. This perfect law of liberty, liberty being free, as in we've got good liberty in our country. We're not under total rule of somebody like a king. But with this perfect law of liberty, the bondage that was in the Old Testament, we've been liberated. We don't have to make the sacrifices anymore. But this liberation, this liberty has come through the perfect law of Jesus Christ and what he did for us at Calvary. The ultimate sacrifice, the last sacrifice that had to be made to please God. It's called the perfect law because it's clear, it's concise, it's full, and it's deficient of nothing. It's just there. It's Jesus Christ. It's called the perfect law because it's superior to the law of Moses, which made no man perfect, either in respect or justification or sanctification. Whereas the gospel, calculated to make men perfect in both respects. And an apostle terms it the law of liberty. In opposition to ceremonial law, that was the yoke of bondage, the Jews couldn't bear it, and from which it freed all that received it, this law of liberty. Christ's yoke being easy and his burden light, and his commandments not grievous. It's called the perfect law because it delivers true believers from the guilt of past sins, from the curse of the law, and from the wrath of God. I'll never forget when, after I got saved and started growing spiritually, it seemed like Satan would bring up the past. And y'all probably experienced this too. Remember what you did, and it's like, ugh. I'd be like, Lord, forgive me for this, forgive me for that. And I'm like, wait a minute, devil. It's under the blood. It's already been forgiven. I don't need to ask forgiveness for this. I'm like, leave me alone in Jesus' name. And it's like, gone. I'm like, but he will try to make you pay for past sins when they're already paid for. That's the perfect law of liberty. It's already paid for. It's called the perfect law of liberty because it rescues us from the power of sin and of Satan, of the world of the flesh and of slavery of their lusts and passions, restoring reason and conscience in our minds, which is true liberty. You say, wait a minute, how can it protect us from sin? If we just stop and think about what we're getting ready to do or say, and ask the Lord to help us with it, it tells us in the Bible that there's no temptation that's not common to man. Jesus had already seen it all, dealt with it all, and through the Holy Spirit helps us deal with it. But with this, it rescues us from the power of sin and from the power of Satan if we just look to God for his help. I can't tell you, there's not been a time where I've said, Lord, help me in Jesus' name with this situation that I'm dealing with right here in front of me. And it's been like crickets. I've never had that happen. The Lord's always given an answer for something that would displease him. Sin, temptations, things that we have in our life, and Satan dealing with us. If we just ask God, he'll just, in Christ's name, because you got to have power behind it. We went over that on Wednesday night, but he's always been there to answer my prayers. If we just look to him and ask him for his help. Now, sometimes we just try to deal with it on our own, but it doesn't quite work so well as if we just ask the Lord, in Jesus' name, help me with this right now, because I'm being attacked. It's called the perfect law because it saves those in whom it is designed influence from that slavish fear of God that once was, all tormenting fear of death and hell and the whole spirit of bondage. He who receives the gospel in faith, love, and new obedience is free. That's that liberty. He that does not is not free, but a slave to sin and pretty much a criminal before God. But whoso looketh into that perfect law of liberty and continue therein. Keep on going, church. Keep on reading. Keep on praying. Keep coming to Sunday school. Keep learning everything you can about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To continue in that liberty, to not give up on it, to be the same in here as we are out in the world, to be the same on Tuesday as we were on Sunday and Thursday as we were on Wednesday night. Continue in that perfect liberty that Jesus Christ has given us. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now the word blessed there just means fortunate and well off, blessed, happy, For those that continue therein and being a doer and not just a hearer only, but continuing in the Word of God, and when we get convicted over something, we take care of it. Of course, ask the Lord to help you, because it'll be a blessing just to, rather than try to do it in the flesh, ask the Lord to help you in Jesus' name. And I promise you He will, if you're wanting to get rid of it or change that certain thing for His full usefulness of us. Be ye a doer of the word, and this man shall be blessed in his deed. I believe there's a lot of people that are missing out because they're not continuing therein. They might be these people that do hear the word of God and just blow it off. They're just an audience. They're the ones that come into Sunday school and just time to socialize. They're missing it. Because God could be shining, showing them something in that lesson. When we read our Bibles in the morning, these peoples that are forgetful here, they're missing out. Because God wants to use them, but there's this one little thing that needs to be taken care of, to work on. A little rough edge that needs to be polished off a little bit. And they don't apply it to their lives when they're reading their Bible. That's a forgetful hearer. Church, as I look at this and we finish up today, you can be one of those that does, or one of those that doesn't and just walks away. We need to continue not as hearers who forget, but as doers that perform. Many appear to think that blessedness results from hearing, and we're always on foot to attend new things, new speakings, new preachings, new teachings. But the true blessedness comes from us doing and not just hearing. And I believe churches would grow if we just do, just do, just do, just do. Let's pray this afternoon. Father, we sure do love you. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for helping me through it. Lord, I pray today that, Lord, you help us to be doers. Lord, I know we do a lot. But Father, I pray that we do to please you. And Lord, we just thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. If I can get